Yeah, it's interesting times that we live in because a lot of the things that were just part of our American culture, who we were as a people, are now being demonized. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems that some of the things that we, even when I was a mere lad in school, the things that we were taught, the things that we were told to uphold and to adore and to stand by, are now being told that these things are wrong. You know, to have a love for your country. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a whole mess of people out there in the United States of America that feel guilty about standing up for the flag, what it represents, standing up for their nation, have a love for their nation? And this is actually absolutely ridiculous. And what's so sad, it's actually crept into some portions of the church. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Robert A. Enos. The A stands for All American Enos. And I'm your host of Table Flippers. And today I'm going to do a episode. I don't know how long this is going to be. It all depends on when I'm done ranting. But I don't assume it'll be too long because to me it's... This subject is one of those things that I call a no-brainer. And so I'm just going to go ahead and jump into this because a friend of mine sent me a message earlier today. Hey, can you do an episode on Christian nationalism? And I said, okay. And even though I had a rudimentary understanding of what Christian nationalism is, I still dove into it a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, to come up with some answers, to come up with some ideas. And, well, here's what I've found. I found, ladies and gentlemen, among other things, that Christian nationalism, that concept, that idea, is under grave attack in our country. And it's primarily from the left, you know, those left-leaners, those Democrats, those... And it's also in the church from very liberal Christians and preachers and such. And I was kind of scratching my head. I came across this one little video of this preacher preaching, coming against Christian nationalism, saying how wrong it is. So I said, well, wait a minute. I've researched this before, Christian nationalism, and I looked at it, the truth, not what the left is saying, not even what the right is saying. What is it? And I found some things that are very interesting. So I'm going to jump into it, but I want to start with just by saying that, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a true Christian, okay, if you are a true Christian and you truly love God and you believe God's word, by virtue of that, you will be a Christian nationalist. I know that concept has become very dirty in our present world, even here in the United States of America, and even in the church. But the reality of it is, to say that you're a Christian but not a Christian nationalist is sort of an oxymoron. So let me explain what I mean, Lucy's. You see, it's interesting because I looked up Christian nationalism. I went online and looked up Christian nationalism, and it took me to the Britannica. Remember the Britannica encyclopedias? Matter of fact, I grew up with a set of encyclopedias from Britannica. I have a set of hardbound encyclopedias right behind me at where I'm recording this. And anyways, the Britannica was a well-known, well-received encyclopedia set way back in the day when they put them in books. You guys remember the books? You probably saw pictures of them or went and saw them in a museum somewhere. Anyway, so I went online and it took me to Britannica, Christian nationalism in Britannica. So let me tell you what Britannica says about this. And what's so interesting, even here in the Britannica, you can see and hear the left-leaning, the left-leaners slant on it. But even still, even with that, you can extract some truth about what a Christian nationalist is. So Christian nationalism, according to Britannica, is ideology that seeks to create or maintain a legal fusion of Christian religion with a nation's character. Advocates of Christian nationalism consider their view of Christianity to be an integral part of the country's identity and want the government to promote or even enforce the religion's position within it. Okay, I think I want to read that again. Because when I read this, even though I can see the slant, and I can hear the slant by using words such as fusion in there, and Christian nationalism, consider their the view of Christianity. You know, the way it was written, you can tell that there's a little bit of a left-leaning slant. And yet, even then, you can still hear the truth of what Christian nationalism is. So I'm going to read this. It says, Christian nationalism, this again is in Britannica. Christian nationalism, ideology that seeks to create or maintain a legal fusion of Christian religion with a nation's character. Advocates of Christian nationalism consider their view of Christianity to be an integral part of their country's identity and want the government to promote or even enforce the religion's position within it. They even said enforce the religion's position within it. Anyways, even with this left-leaning slant, they couldn't slant it too much without just bold-faced lying about it. So what did I take away from this just from what I read in Britannica? What the number one thing that I took away from it is, wow, I'm a Christian nationalist. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right here. I am a Christian nationalist. Now, FBI, please don't come knocking on my door. Do you know what that means? That means I am a Christian, and I love my country, and I want Christian beliefs and ideology back in our culture and our society where they belong. That's it. So I even took it a little step further just so I can further understand this. Okay, that's Christian nationalism, but what is just a nationalism? What does nationalism mean? You know, what does that mean? I don't want to, you know, because we're living in this day and age, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't noticed, where the left, people that are liberal-minded, twist everything. They twist everything. I'll give you an example, ladies and gentlemen. Many years ago, before people started coming out of the closet, they should have been cleaning it, but they started coming out of it. They started embracing this word and telling everybody that they were gay. Gay. The word gay originally meant like happy, carefree, enjoying life. And what it come to mean is men having sexual relationships with men or women having sexual relationships with women. A complete twisting and a perversion of that word gay. They stole it and twisted it. Why? To try to make that mindset, that lifestyle acceptable. Oh, they're just gay. That means, oh, they're just happy. They're just happy. They stole it and they twist it. Now, the left is famous for doing those types of things. And they're also famous for even making up their own words, like homophobe, being fearful of homosexuals. And now they have xenophobe, they have, what else do they have? They have all kinds of phobe, you know, just if they don't like something, they'll attach something to phobe and call you it. Racophobe. You know, if you drive too slow and they get mad, oh, you're just a speedophobe. You know, whatever it is, they just make up these words, or they take a word, twist it into something that it never was intended to be. And that's what I begin to realize that they've been doing with this concept of Christian nationalism. As I just read to you from Britannica, that's not a bad thing to be a Christian and then want your country to line up with Christian values. You know, and a lot of people say, no, that's establishing a religion. Nobody said anything about establishing a religion, but establishing principles that actually work. Hey, that just happens to be part of the Christian religion. I'll get back to that in just a moment. So I looked up this concept or this idea, this word nationalism, to get a better understanding of Christian nationalism. So nationalism is an ideology that emphasizes loyalty, devotion, or allegiance to a nation or a nation state. Okay, that's nationalism. Let me read that again. Nationalism is an ideology that emphasizes loyalty, devotion, or allegiance to a nation or nation state. So basically, if you're a nationalist, regardless of whatever you attach to that, it means that you love your country, you're devoted to your country, and you have this allegiance to your country because of your love for it. So a Christian nationalist would be a Christian who loves their country. Now, as I said when I opened this up, what I begin to realize is you can't even really truly be an honest, real Christian if you don't have a love for your country. Now, before I go on, there's going to be people that say, well, what about slavery? What about it? I can still have a love for my country and hate some of the things my country has done. You know, I don't know why some people have a problem with that. I don't really know why some people have a problem with that. We've had some really terrible things in this country throughout its history, but we have had some really phenomenal, fantastic things in this country. You know, it's just like a marriage. Okay, listen, guys, you know, most of you who know me, I know. I am almost perfect. I'm almost there, but I'm not quite. I still make mistakes. And guess what? Even with my flaws and my mistakes, my wife still loves me. Now, my wife never makes a mistake, but I'm assuming that if she ever did make a mistake, I would still love her. I wouldn't disown her. I wouldn't walk away from her. You know, my wife's name is Linda. I'm a Lindaist. I'm loyal to my wife. I'm devoted to my wife. I've pledged and shown my allegiance to my wife because I love her. She makes a mistake. Am I no longer a Lindaist? No, that's foolish. And yet there's many in our country that are still here reaping the benefits of being here, bashing our country because of something that happened in our past. Well, if you have a love for country and you get busy, maybe we can fix some of those problems from the past. It's the same thing in a marriage. I love my wife. And when I make a mistake, I do my best to own it and fix whatever mistake I am. If it's a you know, a mindset, or if it's just something dumb that I said or did, I'll apologize. Same thing with her. We don't lose our loyalty to one another, or we don't lose our love for one another because we made a mistake. Just like in America. Right now, there's so many goofball things going on out there. I mean, look it. We got Kamala Harris. We got Biden. It can't get much worse than that. Yet I still love my country. I forget who actually gave this quote, so please forgive me, but you can look it up and find it. You can still love your country and have a great dislike for your government. See, just because I completely disagree with the people that are in governmental positions right now, or president, vice president, and such, doesn't mean I have any less of a love for my nation. As a matter of fact, it makes me have even a greater drive, back to Christian nationalism, gives me a greater drive to see the biblical foundation restored in my nation so that we won't ever get back to the nonsense that we're experiencing right now. So being a Christian nationalist is not a bad thing. Oh, I know to the left it really is. Why? Because Christian nationalism will destroy their entire narrative, and it'll weaken them and destroy what they're trying to do by ruining this country and take it in a direction that God never intended it. So what is a Christian nationalist? Basically somebody who is a Christian, of course, and an American. I'm talking about Christian nationalists in America. So a Christian who loves their country and wants to see the country get back to its biblical roots. Back to its biblical roots. You know, and again, don't even go there. Well, you know, at the founding we had slavery. Okay, but that's not our biblical roots. Slavery in this country was a bad thing. It was a horrible thing. And those types of things were terrible. But it's not part of the biblical roots. Some people try to twist it. Again, liberals of the day, twisting the word of God to try to justify their wicked behavior. But I want to get back to where we get to the Bible. To the Bible. So you can call me a Christian nationalist, a biblical nationalist, a nationalist. I don't really care. You know what I am? I'm a God-fearing man. And I'm looking at the Bible right in front of me. I'm a God-fearing man that loves his country and wants to see this nation come to Christ, come to God. And if that's a bad thing, well, then make it a bad thing. I am that person. Call me a Christian nationalist, go for it. I'll stand up and go, yeah. But more than a quote-unquote Christian nationalist, I'm more of a biblical nationalist, if you really want to get technical. So let me read to you. Now, I have here on my little desk, my little table, where I am doing this recording, I have what is called the Founder's Bible. And what this Bible is historian David Barton, he and some of the guys that he worked with got together and they put together this Bible. So it's the Word of God, it's the Bible. The Bible aspect of it is just the pure Word of God. But there's things written in here just to show the biblical, the place that the Bible had in our nation's founding and in our nation. Okay, so, you know, how the Bible and the words of the Bible help shape this nation, especially at its inception. Okay, and before anybody goes off, listen, again, back to the whole slavery issue. Yeah, it was a terrible blight on our nation. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But I'm telling you, do you know why it was ended? Because Christians, especially the Quakers and people like them, Christians looking to the Word of God, started working diligently all the way back even before 1776 to bring slavery to an end. It was Christians doing that. The preachers were preaching against it. And people were looking to the Word of God, all right? And Abraham Lincoln, a Christian several years later, or many years later, was willing to even fight a bloody war in part to free the slaves because he was a Christian and understood the Word of God. The Word of God has the principles that set nations and its people free. So don't try to throw some negative thing at me like, oh, you're a Christian nationalist. Yes, I am, because I like to see people free. And I'm sick and tired of all the lies, especially from those of you that are, you claim to be Christian and you bought into the liberal perversion of what a Christian nationalist is. And you try to paint it like a bad picture. Well, I'm telling you, you're not really a Christian if you don't have a love for the nation God puts you in. And I would say that to anybody in the world. If you're living in Mexico, you should be a nationalist, meaning you should have a love for your country and want biblical principles there. If you're in one of the African nations, you should have a love for your country and want biblical principles established in your nation. If you're in Europe, oh, Lord have mercy, you really need to be a nationalist, have a great love for your country, and want to see the Bible established and reestablished in your nation. And I could say that for any nation on the planet. Well, we can go to Canada, China, Russia. We can go to any nation on this planet, and it would still be the same. Every one of us should have a love for our country. I'm not talking about the political structure. I'm not talking about the nonsense that goes on. Love for the country and desire deeply to have biblical principles established in that nation. So let me read some things to you. This is, again, from the Founders Bible. And this is part of the opening, the explanation of not just this Bible, but why it's so important for us to remember these things. It starts here. And this is a quote from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It says, in the formative days of the Republic, by the way, the United States of America is not a democracy, or shouldn't be, it's a republic. In the formative days of the Republic, the directing influence the Bible experienced upon the fathers of the nation is conspicuously evident. This book continues to hold its unchallenging place as the most loved, the most quoted, and the most universally read and pondered of all the volumes which our libraries contain. We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place that the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of the Republic. I suggest a nationwide reading of the Holy Scriptures for a renewed and strengthening contact with those eternal truths and majestic principles which have inspired such measure of true greatness as this nation has achieved. And again, that was President FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, understood the importance of the Bible in the founding of this nation and its continued success, and calls every American to get back to the Word of God and start reading it. I guess he would have been a Christian nationalist. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that right here. Here's one from President Harry Truman. The fundamental basis of this nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis for our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings which we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days. Again, President Harry Truman. President Woodrow Wilson. That's a president you don't hear about too often, but President Woodrow Wilson says, America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelation of Holy Scripture. So far we have Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we have President Harry Truman, we have President Woodrow Wilson are all, by today's standard, Christian nationalists. Let's go on. This is from President Teddy Roosevelt. He says, the teachings of the Bible are so interwoven and intertwined with our whole civic and social life that it would be literally, and I do not mean figuratively, I mean literally, impossible for us to figure ourselves what that life would be if these teachings were removed. We would lose almost all the standards by which we now judge both public and private morals. All the standards towards which we, with more or less resolution, strive to raise ourselves. Almost every man who has by his life work added to the sum of human achievement of which the race is proud, of which our people are proud, almost every such man has based his life work largely upon the teachings of the Bible. And again, that was President Teddy Roosevelt. I can see, ladies and gentlemen, that you need even more. President Andrew Jackson. Now that goes back a way. It, the Bible, is the rock on which the Republic rests. That was Andrew Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. He says, the Bible is the rock on which our Republic, meaning our nation, rests. And here's one from the beloved Ronald Reagan. Of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. The Bible and its teachings helped form the basis for the founding fathers' abiding belief in the inalienable rights of the individual, rights which they found implicit in the Bible's teaching of the inherent worth and dignity of each individual. That's President Ronald Reagan. One more, ladies and gentlemen. How about Abraham Lincoln? President Abraham Lincoln. The Bible is the best gift God has given to men. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book, but for it, we could not know right from wrong. So, up until just our recent history, most, if not all, but most presidents had to admit that the Bible is probably the number one and most important document in the world when it came to founding this nation. So, all the way from Andrew Jackson through Abraham Lincoln to Ronald Reagan, they understood the importance of the Bible. So because they said these things, ladies and gentlemen, and they put that out there for the world to hear, and now even today to read, I guess most all of our presidents were Christian nationalists. So let's back the truck up for just a moment. The United States of America, until recently, has been the world superpower, the most brilliant, the most wealthy, the most powerful, and in many cases, compared to others, the most righteous. Now, I say up until, recently, because when we have people, when we had like, you know, Bill Clinton in there, and Obama, and now Biden, and we have people like Kamala Harris in there, all wicked, wicked, vile people. And Biden even mocking the Bible. Obama mocking the Word of God. And is it any wonder that we're becoming weaker and weaker and weaker? We're no longer the dominant force on the globe. Or I should say this, we're still a dominant force on the globe, but we are quickly, rapidly losing that place and that position of power and wealth. Look at all the messes that we have here. That was not brought on by Christian nationalists. It was the Christian nationalist, Abraham Lincoln, that brought an end to slavery. It was the Christian nationalist who we call our founding fathers that created this document, first with the Bill of Rights and then the Constitution that is still, next to the Bible, the greatest document ever penned by the hand of men. This country has been the strongest nation for some 200, 250 years. People still stand in line all over the globe in the hopes to jump on an airplane or a ship to get here to the United States of America because they know we're a blessed nation. Why? Because it was the Christian nationalists, as we just read, that understood it was the Word of God. It was the Bible that made this nation great. So what is a true Christian nationalist? Someone who just wants to get back to our founding documents, the Word of God. Someone who wants to establish this nation once again in righteousness and on righteousness, the word of God. People who want to put God first before anything or anyone else in this nation. And then from that place of power that we achieve by doing so, we can reach out our hand and help every other nation and people group up to where we are at and show them how to get the job done. First, get the word of God and put that into your nation. Put that into your people. Put that into your founding documents. Put that into your laws. Put that into your economics. Because when you put the word of God first, everything works. So back to this whole idea of Christian nationalism, especially being some negative thing. Yeah, you're going to find somebody who might call themselves a Christian nationalist, and they're going to be a knucklehead. But that doesn't speak for all of us. Because the reality of it is, if you're a Christian and you love this country and you just want to see it get back to its biblical principles, you are the true Christian nationalist. And you are the ones through whom God's going to use to make this country great again. Where are we going? We're going back to the roots of this country, which is the Word of God. That's Christian nationalism, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be ashamed of it, and don't let the left lie about it anymore. When they start lying about it, no, you tell them the truth. You tell them that you stand up and tell them the truth, that this nation was based upon the Word of God, and we need not be ashamed of that. We need to stand up for it. For doing so, we're not only standing up for God himself, for the Word of God, but we're standing up for righteousness, and we're standing up for one another. Because what is America all about? It's the great melting pot where we all come together and are melted into one people under God. Guys, remember that? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I guess if you say the Pledge of Allegiance, now you're a Christian nationalist. Huh? Go figure. So, my fellow Christian nationalists, rise up, tell the truth, let your voice be heard, don't back down. And those cowardly people on the left, they'll slink away under the rocks where they always go. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.